lost our opportunity to kind of shake our hands there for a minute. Should we go ahead and do that? Or can we, are you guys ready for me? You ready? Am I ready? I don't know. We'll find out. Look, Merrill. Now I hope I can do half as well as he did without his. I've already kind of changed my mind on how I'm going to start this. It must be tough to do this job, you know that. When you have, 40 or 25 to 30 eighth graders come running into a room, you don't think much about changing your mind what you had to teach that day. But when it comes to having a chance to listen to a song like that and set up here, and it can kind of work on you in the matter of a couple minutes before you step up. But I'll just get started. The title on the thing here, Jeff's done a nice job of kind of getting you started here on some of the stuff that comes along with this radical experiment. It's on one of the sides of the bulletin. It's kind of overwhelming, I think. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? Anybody make a New Year's resolution, or have you given up on those? I kind of pretty much have, I believe. But I'm led to come up with something for New Year's, kind of a change of attitude or something. I know what I will do, and because I do it every year. This time of year, I get away from my running. I don't get to the Y because I like to run outside better. But right out here pretty quick, I will. I'll become pretty regular at the Y again. I've done it for the last several years, and I'll take a little weight off. I'm not going to make it some type of resolution that I'm going to lose 25 pounds because I'll fail on that, okay? But an attitude of getting back in and starting new things and having kind of a new year to do that with. A fresh start, I guess. But, boy, as busy as a lot of us has been to look at this and think, here's what we're going to do this year. We're only going to pray for the entire world is what we're going to challenge you to do. Read through the entire word. We got a one-year Bible down here. That was the only thing we did one year, pretty much. That's just part of it. Sacrifice money for a specific purpose, spend time in another context, commit your life to multiplying the community. That all comes out of the other book we're supposed to be doing, okay? So when you think of the new year, are we ready to take on this challenge? I'm not sure that all of us will be. I'm here to try to give you, I don't know what to call my sermon. I originally was going, I don't want to call it a sermon. But it's more than a book report, I think. The deacons and the pastors had a chance to kind of read through this some, so I think what I'm going to have to say to you for a few minutes is just a little bit of a taste of, some of the type of things and some of the thought patterns, at least I've gone through, out of this book to kind of give you a little taste for it. But it is radical. The challenge that you take on, it is all Christian commands that, that's given to us by God. There's nothing new there. It's just that if we were truly doing those things, we probably would appear radical at times. Okay, so the name, kind of comes along with that. I need to use this. I just felt said to some of the verses that have kind of come out. And the first one is not really along the lines of the where the rest is going to go. But for the first challenge that comes, this is going to kind of hit hard in the first chapter. It kind of knocks you over the head with, and then it really mellows down some and gets you thinking and realizing. So if I have a resolution for this year, it is that I will keep an open mind and a spirit-led heart as I kind of read through this. And since I've read it once, what I'm looking forward to is a small group situation where we'll get a chance to talk through some of these things and kind of figure out how this book might possibly change our lives. Okay, but one of the early ones that kind of hits you is Matthew 28:19 reads, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." So just that verse right there, it's not precluded with the sentence, "Those who are called to the mission field will." Okay? It's a commandment to all of us. And how do you go about doing that? That's kind of the challenge of, you're going to be challenged to think globally. You're going to be challenged to think outside of the box of your family, the Moreland community, and even this country. And how can you be a part of that? Not here to give you an answer on that, okay? But the challenge is there, and there are examples of people that are doing it. You know, one example, someone came up with the idea of these shoe boxes. Anybody research that enough to know where that came from? All the shoe boxes that we sent out this year? Now, that's kind of a global outreach. My guess is it was someone's idea, okay? Are you about ready to say something? Did you know, Lillian? Okay. There you go. There's my answer.
And it's just taken off. I don't know how many years, at least five, that they've been doing it. And it seems like it's just the last couple of years that we've
hit into
taken
it.
Part in it.
So, you know, but, you know, there are people that are thinking, are setting in small churches like us around, you know, around the country, and there are things they're doing that involves them out there. And but the part that I wanted to kind of speak on today has to do with the name of this book. It says, Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream. Okay? And then it's radical. Okay? So, what is the American Dream? Is it having plenty of food and clothing? Is that part of it? Or is that not a dream, just an expectation that we're going to have plenty of food and clothing? Do we really dream about that? We were just talking about unloading our closets of all this extra excess clothing we have to make room for the new stuff we got, maybe in some cases. Okay. Is it just having a job? You know, we've had some harder times, you know, in our economy these days. So is it just having a job, or do we kind of expect to not only have a job, but have one that has some upward mobility in it or some options in it? Is it having just a place to live, or is it, you know, a comfortable home and comfortable surroundings? Ready transportation, my gosh. If there's three people with license in your family, you probably got three vehicles in the driveway. Opportunity to worship freely. And the one that, you know, is it a dream, or do we almost expect to be able to retire someday? What a concept, you know, what a concept retirement is. But in reality, if you have clean running water, any shelter over your head, clothes to wear, enough food to keep you nourished, and access to a form of transportation, whether it's public or not, then you're in the top 15% of the world's wealthiest people. Okay? And, you know, we see commercials and different things on television of starving children around the world, and you know, those hit home, but are we rich? Do you consider yourself rich? In our economy recently, there's been some people in our own congregation here that's come upon some hard times. We rally around them sometimes, but at their worst, did we ever fall out of that top 15%? I wasn't aware of if we allowed that to happen to anyone in our congregation. So when it comes to the American dream, I mean, what I've said is almost like the American expectations instead of an actual dream. So Matthew 19:24 reads, it says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." If I'm in the upper 15% of the world, I guess I'm pretty rich. So it's not going to be easy for me to consider some of these things about the American dream and reclaiming my faith away from it. So I must consider myself, a rich man. And then as you take that a little further, Mark 10, 17 through 22, the rich man says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have done since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Well, there's a lot of challenges in this book. But do you truly believe he's going to lead us all to be challenged to go sell everything we have and give it to the poor? What do those verses mean to you? I got to admit, as I've read through this book, those verses do mean a little different to me, especially the one about the eye of the needle and the camel. Because many times I've read that over the years, and I didn't consider myself the rich man. You know, I'm not that wealthy man, but I am. So it's not going to be easy. And part of it is the way we've been brought up and our whole work ethic and our whole culture of the American dream. So on this, I think, that's why I'm looking forward to sitting down with groups and kind of working through this. I don't think that's what he hasn't commanded everyone to go out and sell everything they own. I think the key part of that verse is in verse 21, it says, there's one thing you lack. And that is, and the thing that he lacked is the fact that he had way too strong of a grip on his possessions. Okay, he couldn't truly follow the Lord as he would have them do by having such a strong grip on possessions and his wealth. So, in his case, maybe that would have been needed to have continued to follow Christ. Luke 16, 9 through 12 takes it to another area. It says, and this is all me just kind of looking through these, trying to figure out how the me living the American dream is standing in the way of operating my faith the way I should. It says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little also will be dishonest with much. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Oh, Cindy and I, when we started out, we didn't have much. And most of us in here, as we did, probably didn't. I can remember the couch that came out of her grandparents' trailer that I think would have been in the yard, whether we were there to put it in the back of a truck and take it on to our place or not, And it lasted for a while, but it was something, okay? We didn't have a whole lot, but as time's gone, he's blessed us with a lot. He's given us, as far as family, this church family, and monetary wealth, and right now it's what's changing a little and hitting a little harder on me on some of this about the American dream is we're blessed with more right now and at a decision point of what to do with some money. We've put three kids through college. Our last one just graduated. That's a blessing. Now we've got more money. We've got more wealth. We got more excess than we've had all of our lives. It'd been nice to have had it at some other times, but we've got it. So what's one of the things that comes to mind? I go back to retirement, that concept of retirement. You know, I thought, well, we could put a little more money back towards retirement, you know. That teaching retirement's not going to do a whole lot. You know, I can't retire and live the way I want to live there, so we'll put a little money. So it kind of hit on me, and it made me think the fact that I'm even contemplating retirement. I'm not trying to say anything against anybody that's already retired. I'm just saying the fact that we, and many of us in here, will and are and have contemplated retirement, the fact that you even do that, where does that put us in that 15%? You know, when I think of a child of 14 years old that may get up every other morning to walk 4 miles to get fresh water for his family so they, you know, they can live, and it may take 5 hours, half their day to do that, along with his 8-year-old sister as they truck back all the little... Is that person ever going to contemplate retirement? Now that gets into another whole, you know, it's not that, you know, we go and sell everything we have. I'm just saying, to me, it's a mindset of the American dream. It is like passing through, as wealthy as we are, like passing through the eye of the needle, I think, for us at times because of our culture of this American dream. Okay. Last scripture I want to read comes from 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Here's where the word commandment actually comes in here. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of their life, of the life that is truly life. So, you know, to me that's just saying we need to keep a looser grip on what the Lord's given us. We need to, and I think that comes along with some of these other things that is part of this experiment, if you're willing to take on this challenge this year. Reading through the entire Word, that's always a good thing. I would pray that, you know, I would hope that we would try and struggle through this book some. Even if you fell behind in that personally. Sacrificing money, spending time, praying for the entire world. The awareness that we would get for doing some of these other things would make us more rounded, I think, and make us think more globally. That's what the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges here is to think outside of our, you know, our little box some of just our community, just and trying to overcome the thought that what can one person do with this situation? Well, I think the point is, in our American culture, with everybody going the way we are, I mean, there's a lot of stats in here. How many millions and literally billions of dollars of money that's spent on church structures? Okay, and you know, I mean, one time he just tried to add up how much money was in the parking lot in automobiles, you know, and that had just driven to church that day. I think we can make a difference, but it can't just be, it needs to be all of us, and thinking of that we're a part of a God's church globally, instead of just what we can, you know, what we can do from right here in this community. So it's a great challenge. I would like to offer it up to you as one to think, how does it work into your New Year's resolutions? I wouldn't know. But I would like for you to consider it over the next, you don't have long, you know, everybody's going to be, what is it, tomorrow night is New Year's Eve, but we just studied a book next door over here about Christmas that was saying it's really once you take the tree down here at Christmas that you should be, you know, celebrating that every day, for the next year. It's been a busy time. I guess this part of on the money and the American dream and how to deal with money's kind of come to me because of Christmas, maybe. If we'd have started this in June, it may not have so much, but I've just seen a lot of money. We're good for the economy, the Summers family was this last little bit, but all of us were. And I just want to, so I have no answers here after reading that last, other than the fact that what my prayer kind of is for this year is to go through it. And what I'm looking forward to is being able to sit down in small groups. I'd like to really push that. If you've not been involved in one, or if you've been contemplating Sunday school, or we've got a great younger group going here. We've got a mixed group over there. We've got a mixed group here. We'd certainly start another one if there was interest in it. And, you know, this book will come along here in just a few weeks, where I'm sure Nathan will do a much better job introducing it than I have. But I'm looking forward to being able to talk over with some other people and consider. But it's my prayer that, you know, the Lord will continue to guide me as I strive for a better balance over this next year of how to follow my faith through this ingrained culture of the American dream that, you know, I've got in me. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am. At a deacon's meeting the other day, I said, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I got a feeling, because I've done a lot of different study books, I got a library of books at home. I said, I really feel like I'm going to come out of this one somewhere changed. I just don't know exactly where. So that would be my prayer for all of us. So I would hope that you would take on the challenge. So what do we have here? We got people need the Lord. We'll have our